Well, good morning and welcome to the somewhat late Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show. This is Julie Calamine. I'm your morning show host, and we had a little bit of a technical issue here in the studio, which we can just forget about now that we've solved it, but here we are on air. And good morning, everyone. I hope you're having a great Tuesday after 4th of July weekend. And here we are in sunny Sandpoint. Going to be a hot one. First, I'm going to do a weather report, then on to an introduction of this morning's guests. And it's going to be a great show. So hope you feel it's worth the wait. Here we go. First off, weather today is going to be a little on the hot side. So it's a perfect kind of hot day for the topic that's coming up later. Hot, sunny, 94, low of 59. The week stays somewhat hot throughout. We're looking at Wednesday, 87, lows in the 50s. And then Thursday, chance of rain and a high of 79, a little cooling, and then warm again on the weekend. So it's your typical Sandpoint weather with a chance of rain tossed in. That's always great. Well, this is a great segue into today's topic because we are joined today with one familiar guest and one not so familiar guest. Our first guest I'll mention is you, Joyce Jowdy, of Community Engagement and Adult Programming Coordinator at East Bonner County Library. Good morning.
Morning, Julie.
And our second guest is Yvonne Heitz. Yvonne, you are an Ayurvedic or Ayurvedic wellness practitioner. Hi, Yvonne.
Good morning.
So happy to have you here. Well, there's a lot happening at the library, and Yvonne's work is just one part of it. So we're going to start with you, Joyce, and then we'll come back to you, Yvonne. Joyce, you are the Adult Programming Coordinator and Community Engagement Person, and you have done so much since you joined East Bonner County Library. And listeners, you know that the Tuesday morning show is normally about outdoors, recreation, environment, almost always, except when we're doing gardening, which still counts. But Joyce has added so many outdoor, environmental, recreational programs to the library's schedule, and I just love that. You really have.
Thanks.
Yeah, you bet. So the main focus of today is the Natural Connections program, and the next one is coming up on Saturday, July 19th. Yvonne is going to be involved in this, but why don't you go ahead, Joyce, and tell us about that program before we jump in and spend quite a bit more time with Yvonne.
Thank you very much for having us on and letting us share what's going on at the library, in addition to all the wonderful books and movies and everything else that you can get at your local library. On Saturday, July 19th, starting at 10, we're going to have Secret Sunrise Silent Disco. And we'll go into more detail later. We're just going to do a quick introduction and then shift it over to Yvonne, as Julie mentioned. So then at 11, that's when her program will show up, Ayurvedic Summer Wellness. And then at 2, Art Journal Your Way to Freedom. So we have a full lineup, and people can come for one program or all or mix and match. It's all free, open to the public. The content of the material is geared towards adults and teens, and so everybody's welcome. So that's our lineup for Saturday, July 19th, and I'll go into more detail on each of the time slots after.
That sounds great, Joyce. And so we're going to just jump right back to you, Yvonne, and dig in to who you are and what you know in this so interesting area of health and health practices that comes originally from India, if I'm understanding it right. But first, let's find out about you, Yvonne. How did you get to be here in Sandpoint, and how did you learn about this kind of Eastern medicine, I guess it would be?
Well, let's see. We moved to Sandpoint probably about 7 years ago, but I started studying Ayurveda way before then. So my interest in Ayurveda started over 20 years ago. And I had some health issues of my own that popped up and went to the regular doctors. My knees, I lost a lot of the cartilage in my knees, and I was very athletic. And they, you know, wanted to put me on all this prescription medication. And my husband at the time was like, you know, that's going to kill your liver. And I said, what? You know, I was 21, 22. And I was like, well, that's kind of young. Maybe I need to find some other alternative to other ways to deal with these issues besides just taking prescription medication. And through my looking at different sciences that were out there to deal with this, I came across Ayurveda, which really deals with keeping the body healthy and learning ways to make it so that we don't fall into these disease patterns. Now, that's one aspect of Ayurveda. The other aspect of Ayurveda is, well, if you've already have a disease, if there's already an imbalance in the body, how can we correct that imbalance to bring you back to a state of health? And how can we do so in a natural way using diet? So all the foods that we eat, every food that we put into our body is going to have an effect on our body. So if we know more about the foods, we know how that are going to affect us, then we know which foods are going to help us at certain times. Now, herbs are also an important part of Ayurveda, and also the lifestyle that we choose to lead. For example, we're in the summer time, the heat. So if you're outside doing lots of really hardcore exercise in the middle of the day, in the hottest time of the day, you are going to be bringing more heat in your body as if you decided to maybe take your jog in the early morning or the evening. So if you're having a problem with excess heat, then you may want to do your jogging in the morning instead of in the middle of the day, as an example.
Well, that makes perfect sense.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
That's what I like to say about Ayurveda. It makes sense. It's like an analogy for health that makes it so the average person can understand what's going on once they get these concepts down. Where, you know, you talk to your doctors and they have these really long names for these different disorders. And sometimes all it means is inflammation of the lungs. But it has this huge old long name, and we're like, well, oh my gosh, I have no idea how I would touch something like that. But if someone just said, hey, there's a little excess heat in your lungs, you know, then we become empowered of ways that we can help ourselves.
Right, that aren't necessarily a prescription. Well, what are some of the key aspects of Ayurveda?
Well, to start with, Ayurveda is over 5,000 years old. It comes out of the Vedas, which are a set of books. And if you think about it, this science has had over 5,000 years to evolve.
And it's from India.
It is from India. I mean, there can be debated that it's even older than the country of India. So, you know, it's very, very old, but it is still practiced in India. And you can go to an Ayurvedic hospital or you can go to a Western hospital. And there's certain things that it's known in Ayurveda that the Ayurvedic hospitals do better. In fact, I've had my teachers say that a lot of times if you break a bone, sometimes going to an Ayurvedic hospital, your bones can heal faster because they maybe not only bind the bone in place, but give you herbs and oils and stuff to help the bone tissue grow faster.
Okay. Well, what are some of the basic principles? Like, tell us, what are the concepts? What is the theory behind it?
So Ayurveda is all a reflection of nature. I mean, we're a part of nature. So one of the main concepts of Ayurveda is the 20 qualities, or the gunas, which are the 10 opposite qualities. So we look around our world and at ourselves, and things can be like heavy or they can be light. They can be cold or they can be hot. Something can be oily or dry. Look at the skin. Sometimes people have dry skin. Sometimes people have oily skin. Things can be dull or sharp. Have you ever come across a person who has a sharp tongue?
I think I know that person. Pretty well, personally.
And sometimes you can talk to someone and they're very dull. It's like you say something and you wait and it takes a while for, you know, a response to come. So just different examples of these qualities. We also have smooth and rough and dense and liquid, soft and hard, static and mobile, gross and subtle, cloudy and clear. So we look at all these things and, I mean, these words can basically summarize everything in our environment and all the people we know. And if we have an excess of any one of these qualities, it can lead to imbalance. Like if there's too much sharpness, maybe someone's tongue is a little sharp, which is actually a pitta quality, which is fire and water. So, people get too hot and angry, sometimes their tongue gets a little sharper. So by applying the opposite quality, by dulling that down, by taking them out of the heat, by allowing them to relax, or have some more leisure time, you might notice in that situation that tongue might not be quite as sharp.
Yes.
So we work by applying the opposite qualities to bring someone into balance. Then we further organize it. We have the five elements. So we have space, air, fire, water, and earth. We need all these elements to make up everything physical on this planet. I mean, everything you see has a little bit of these different elements in it. And then we also have what we call these three dynamic energies, which are considered the three doshas of Ayurveda. Now, this is kind of an interesting part of Ayurveda. So we have Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. People have probably heard these before, maybe not exactly sure what they are. But Vata, which is the energy of movement, action, circulation, and transportation, is made up of the elements space and air. So Vata people will move faster, they talk fast, you know, they have smaller joints, they don't sit still, they change their minds. And if you think about the elements of space and air, they're very mobile. They move around, they're rough, they're light, they're dry. And it's responsible for all the movement in the body. Any movement, so that's your breath, the breathing, that's your bowel movements. So if there's an imbalance in Vata, then you're going to see imbalances in maybe circulation or bowel movements or overactivity or something like that. Now, Pitta, the other dynamic dosha, which is the one we're going to spend even more time on in this class. Is made up of fire and a little bit of water. And this one, you know, Pitta is so important because the energy of Pitta is energy to convert. Now, when you think about a fire and you put wood into the fire and it burns, it comes out something entirely different. It is no longer wood. It is ash. So everything in our body that needs to convert one thing into something else uses the fire element to do that. So that means when you eat your food, it doesn't stay food in our body. We turn it into, thank goodness, tissues. And depending on how healthy that fire is, depends on how healthy the tissues you build are. So when we think about like a wood-burning stove, depending on how you load that stove, depends on how healthy the heat's going to be. You know, you might have a smoking fire, or you could have one that's burning really well and completely burns the wood. That's what we want in our bellies, is that fire. And you can think about the acid in our stomachs. That is like the liquid fire, fire and water. That is Pitta. And so that is what, you know, digests, transforms, metabolizes everything in our body. And that fire doesn't just work in our stomach. It also works in our mind. So we have to digest the sensory inputs that come in through our senses. We have to be able to digest our emotions. So if, you know, if someone's having a hard time digesting their emotions, then they might need some help with the fire element. Now, some people have too much fire. They might digest stuff too fast. They can become very sharp. They can even start burning up some of the tissues in their body or have inflammation in their body or acid reflux or skin conditions, because we say that fire and blood is very connected in Ayurveda. So skin issues or certain allergies might come from an excess of fire.
Oh.
And then we have one more element or one more dosha, and that's Kapha. So that's water and earth. And the Kapha energy is responsible for all the lubrication, cohesion, and nourishment of the body. So that would be the synovial fluid in the joints and so forth. So very important that we have that too. That's really the protective dosha of the body. And with all these together, you know, the five elements, the 20 qualities, and the three dynamic energies or doshas, we give a complete picture of our universe, the individual, and health.
Ah, so of the three doshas, everyone has some of each, but they might lean one way or the other. Is that where we're going?
That's correct. Well, we have to have all three.
Yes.
Because if we were missing movement or digestion or lubrication, we'd have a problem. So, you know, that is a common question. People be like, oh, I'm all Pitta. Well, you can't be all Pitta. You know, you're going to have a combination of all three. But if you look around at the people you know, you will notice that they might lean more towards one or the other. So they may have a predominance of one of the doshas in them. And you can see that in their physical structure as well. I'm not going to get into that right now. But so we call that a single dosha person, like someone whose their constitution might be Pitta, Vata, or Kapha. And then you might see people, well, you know, that person doesn't really fall into just a Pitta or a fire person. They've got fire and air qualities. So they might be a Vata Pitta person, or someone might have fire and earth qualities. They can be really stubborn, by the way. Think about that. That earth doesn't move very well, and the fire knows what it wants. So that can create kind of a stubborn attitude sometimes, or someone that has lots of stick-to-itiveness and can push through all kinds of obstacles. So it depends on, you know, what side you're going to be on with that.
Yeah, makes sense. You know, I, of course, we do these things when we prepare for interviews, and I went on, of course, Google to look up what are we talking about with Ayurveda medicine. And they talk about so many of the things you're talking about here already, that it's holistic, that treatment is so individualized, and then that there's an emphasis on lifestyle. Could we touch on that?
Sure, we could touch on lifestyle. I mean, that is a big part of it. And in our class, we are going to be discussing specific lifestyle things you can do to make sure you don't get so hot. So, for example, we'll start with Vata. Vata people are moving really fast. They're always on the move. Wait, I got to back up 1 second here. So we have the constitution. It does get a little more complicated. The constitution that you have, the type of person you are, you're given at birth. You're born that way. It's kind of like your genetic imprint. However, as we go through life, you know, we get acted on by all these elements. You might live in Sandpoint, for example, which gets really cold in the summer. Or you could live in Hawaii, which is just hot all the time. So these locations are going to affect your balance of doshas. So you might be a Vata person, which is generally cold. There's no hot qualities of Vata. And if you're living in Sandpoint, you might get more of a Vata imbalance because it's so cold. Or if you're living in Hawaii, that might be more balancing for you. Or if you're eating foods that don't agree with your type, then you might be a Vata person, but maybe you eat lots of hot and spicy things all the time, but you might be expressing as, like, in a sense, a Pitta person or a Pitta imbalance. So what we really need to look at is, what imbalance do you have in your life right now? Because that's what we're really looking to correct to bring you back to health.
How do you do it?
Well, now, see, that's where it becomes complicated, because people take these constitution quizzes and they're like, oh, I'm a Kapha, I'm a Vata, I'm a Pitta. And you might be. But if you have a different imbalance, you need to be eating for the imbalance. So there's a lot of specific questions we ask, and we go back to those, you know, 20 qualities of what someone is expressing right now. And that's what we really want to deal with, is right now. So right now, we are in the summer season, which would be the Pitta season, the fire season. And I mean, that makes sense. It's hot outside. When we move into fall, we move into the Vata season. And then as it gets stagnant and cold, we're still in the Vata. And then in Kapha is the season of spring, of new growth, of that beautiful thing that's also broken into the times of the day. Excuse me. You get a drink of water.
Of course. We've kept her talking. So
yeah. She's hardly, well, you know, one of the things that I always find so fascinating, Julie, is how it's very, the system is very customized for the individual. But yet at the same time, there's some principles and some techniques that we can all kind of learn from. Because I know sometimes it can feel overwhelming for people who haven't studied the 20, 30 years that you have, Yvonne. And so that's why it's so nice that you can bring us to some just very specific kinds of things that maybe are good for all, or, you know, if we know some sharp things about ourselves, some specific things can be very helpful. Because it can feel overwhelming for the average person, I think, sometimes.
I think so, too. And there are terminologies that aren't just natural to folks from Western medicine. And an example of that, because you're going down this road, Joyce, are some of the common Ayurvedic practices. I'll get the pronunciation maybe by the end of the hour, but I still don't think I have it. But one, Yvonne, that I'm noting here is Panchakarma. And that's, oh, I bet that's an important part of...
Well, Panchakarma really deals with when someone has an imbalance that's been there for a very long time. And so the imbalance has built up in all the tissues in the body. So through the process of Panchakarma, we actually remove the excess dosha, the excess energy imbalance out of the body, instead of just trying to tone it down. So for example, lifestyle and food will generally tone it down. If someone's really hot and they start eating cooling foods and start having a more cooling lifestyle, like relaxing, not getting super angry, you know, that's going to tame it down. But if the imbalance has been there for a really long time and it's in all the tissues, they just need to go off their dietary thing for a little bit and their problem will flare back up. So that's where Panchakarma comes into account. And Panchakarma, it's no joke. It can be anywhere from a 3 to 6 week process.
Whoa.
So you need to be working with an Ayurvedic doctor. It's quite expensive to be done in the States because there's a lot of therapies. I mean, it's a whole art in itself. But the basis of it is not only do you eat like a mellow diet while you go through this cleanse. So it's a massive cleanse. And first part of this cleanse is we use medicated oils, specifically medicated ghee, which is clarified butter that has herbs baked into the ghee. And it's very specific for the imbalance of the person. And it is done internally and externally. So you eat a fair amount of ghee. And what this ghee does is it goes into these tissues and it breaks, or it's kind of like a soap, where it takes the toxins and separates them from the tissues themselves. And then through different body work procedures, different oil massages and steam therapies help to loosen it more. And the strokes push these toxins into the digestive system, where then we use three different methods of elimination, either vomina, which is throwing up, or emesis, so enemas, or purgation. So then we then take the toxins that we've loosened from the external tissues and flush them completely out of the body so that they're gone.
This is one serious, you have to be, I would guess one would have to be feeling very serious about detoxifying to undergo this process.
Yeah, so it takes time. Yeah. And we take time so that we don't hurt the surrounding tissues.
Ah.
Like you see a lot of fasts in the West, or, you know, really fast, we do this and we just fast and we cleanse and we cleanse and we cleanse. But sometimes that hurts the tissues around it. And in Ayurveda says any cleanse is vata imbalancing because there's so much movement. Remember, vata is movement.
Right.
There's so much movement happening. So after you go through a cleanse, any cleanse that you go through, you're going to be a little weak afterwards. So Ayurveda always suggests you never do cleansing without rebuilding. So after you cleanse these tissues, you then need to take, we call them rasayana herbs, which are herbs that allow to rebuild whatever tissue was hurt or imbalanced so that it's nice and strong and the chances of getting sick again go down.
So interesting. Well, since we started a bit late and time is, we have about an hour time frame, a little bit less, I think it's a good, we're at a good point to move on to you telling us what folks might expect out of the, what is it, about a two-hour class on the 19th?
It's actually going to be a three-hour class. And I mean, you can see we're just scratching the surface here in the time that we have. And even with 3 hours, we'll only be scratching the surface. But instead of getting really technical in this class, I want to make it so that it's really available to everyone, that it's hands-on, that people learn how to use some of these concepts to improve their life instead of just listen to me ramble on about all these things about Ayurveda and get people's heads spinning, because that's easy to do.
Well, we're getting some of the basic concepts, but it's obvious that it's very complicated. So it sounds like this is going to be a simplified experience. Tell us more.
So, well, we're going to be doing a fair amount of cooking, because Ayurvedic cooking is unique in that since Ayurveda looks at food as medicine, when you go into the kitchen, like that's your doctor's office. You know, all those spices sitting in the cupboard have different things to help you heal. But the only way that works is if you understand what they do and how they affect you. So we'll be going over the different spices, especially since we're in the middle of the summer and it's hot, we're going to be focusing on cooling spices. Because, I mean, around here in a lot of restaurants here, we have a lot of, you know,
rather spicy food.
Spicy, you see, you know, jalapenos and lots of garlic, and you know, that's great in the winter.
And the new Indian restaurant in town, talk about spicy.
Delicious.
I know it.
I know. I go mild because I'm already a pitta person. So you get me too spicy, and my whole family's like, oh man,
her tongue's
getting too sharp.
Oh,
so
I'm
careful how much spice I take in. So we'll be discussing the spices that are cooling, and some good examples of those spices would be like mint. Something that grows everywhere. Mint is extremely cooling. Fennel, cumin, coriander. Coriander, the seed of the cilantro plant. Cilantro is very cooling, also helps remove heavy metals out of the body. So, you know, just taking it to where every time in the summer you go to the store and you buy some cilantro and whatever you cook, you cut a little cilantro and throw it on top is really super healing. So learning, and then we do something else very interesting in Ayurvedic cooking. We make medicine with the spices before we put the food in. So the way we do that is we really like ghee in Ayurveda. Ghee is tridoshic, meaning that it's good for all three of the energies, vata, pitta, and kapha. And when you put ghee in a pan, And then you put the spice seeds or the spices in the ghee. You actually make an oil extraction of the spices. So all you're pulling all the medicinal qualities out of the spices. And then when you throw your food into that oil mixture, then that food becomes coated in medicine and delicious medicine on top of it. So learning to cook right, you can make it delicious and healing.
Well, this sounds a lot more fun than having a panchkarma 6 weeks.
Yeah, anyway. I don't think I could do that. It's so individualized. I mean, I do some panchkarma techniques. However, you know, it's a very, you know, you need full consultation, right. All these things. So we want to make it to where people can use the stuff in their kitchen. And I mean, we have a pretty awesome menu set up here for people.
All right. And Yvonne, just hang on for one moment. I think our listeners are pretty savvy in, you know, in the ways of cooking here around Sandpoint, but maybe not everyone knows what ghee is.
So ghee is clarified butter. So this, what you do is you take butter and you melt it. And you, on a very low temperature, and over time, the butter will separate. The solids will fall to the bottom, and you'll get some foamy stuff on the top. And we take that pure golden liquid in the middle. And it takes, so that part of the butter, which we call the ghee, doesn't really have the saturated fats in it that butter has. So it's extremely healing. In fact, you know, I just learned about a type of ghee that's used for skincare. It's so, Ayurveda is so fascinating. But this is where you take ghee and you wash it 100 times with like water over a copper dish. And by doing this, it makes it more absorbable so that you can use it for face care and you can, you know, help remove wrinkles. And it's one of the most moisturizing things on the planet when you do these special techniques to it. I actually have some. Maybe I'll bring it with me because it actually turns white when you put it through this process.
It sounds amazing. That sounds amazing.
Yes.
Well,
thank you.
Let's talk a bit more about what concepts you'll be covering during this really exciting 3-hour program.
And the reason it's 3 hours is because it's going to be hands-on. Not only is she going to be talking about the principles, but also we'll be cooking together and then eating a delightful meal that incorporates so we can actually experience physically and through our senses in all ways the principles that she's teaching. But even more important in my mind is then we can go home and make it for ourselves.
No kidding.
And our families.
Yeah. So, yeah we're going to be cooking a lot of food. We'll be cooking for 25 to 30 people to have a full lunch. It's free. So, and we're doing more than one dish. We're going to cook a bean called mung beans, which is really important in Ayurveda. You now see it at our grocery store or at Winter Ridge. When I moved here, they didn't have it, but now they do. And it's a very cooling bean that's very easy to digest, super good for liver issues, and one of the highest beans in protein. And you don't have to soak it overnight.
My favorite part of it.
You only have to soak it for like an hour, and you don't really have to soak it. But if you soak it for an hour, it becomes even easier to digest. So we're going to make a dish with that because a lot of people go, well, mung dal, what do you do with that? Whatever do you make with that? So there are quite a few dishes, but we're going to make one dish with mung dal, maybe one with ghee, maybe one with spinach. We're also going to learn about like what vegetables are cooling, what fruits are cooling, which oils are cooling, which grains are cooling, which teas are cooling, so that people are, you know, armed with all this information. We're going to be doing some green beans, hopefully fresh out of my garden. I just picked about a pound of green beans out of my garden yesterday. I'm hoping that gets more. Might have to buy a little bit of fresh green beans because we want to eat fresh and seasonal food in Ayurveda. That's super important. And local is very important because it's a reflection of our own environment. What grows in our environment generally tends to balance us.
We do talk about food quite a bit on this Tuesday morning show because we have our first Tuesday of the month is about garden life. And so last week, that was really all we talked about was what was happening in our gardens. But I don't know if I'm on track when I say this, but it does seem like a lot of the green vegetables, the greens, would be more cooling. Is that true?
Absolutely right. We even think, you know, in color therapy, as green being a cooling color.
Right.
So almost everything that's green is cooling, and mung beans, their skin is actually green. So we'll be using the split mung beans, which are yellow in the inside. But if you see the whole mung bean itself, it has a green coating.
It's interesting because my mother's been passed away for maybe 10 years, and she didn't grow up in India or anything. We're from Minnesota, and she was actually from Omaha, Nebraska, but she was a huge fan of mung beans. I ate quite a few mung beans as a child, and I haven't had any recently, so I'm going to have to get back to my mung bean basics.
Yeah, they're pretty important food. I mean, they're one of the foods Ayurveda says you can eat every day without creating imbalance. So a very special food. And also basmati rice is considered a very special food in Ayurveda, as it is also tridoshic, balances all three of the energies. And partially is because it's a longer grain and it's not as starchy as the other rices.
Now, because you're cooking for a group and you won't know exactly where they sit in their doshas, right? So the notion of the recipes for the upcoming program are to have something balanced, it'll work for all three of the types.
They will work for all three of the types. We'll be more slightly cooling than superheating because we're in the summer. So generally, we're going to eat foods that balance our environment. So as we become more imbalanced, then if we have to eat foods that balance our environment to stay in balance.
That can work for all three doshas.
Yes, but there's going to be some other options too. We're going to do a couple chutneys. So those are digestive aids, and I'm going to make one digestive aid possibly that's a little bit more spicy with some ginger in it, and one that's a little bit more cooling made from mint and honey. Honey is a little heating, so we don't totally, you know, we need a little bit of heat to make sure the digestive fire is working well, but we're going to emphasize the spices that are cooling. However, all spices enhance the digestive system and enhance the digestive fire. It's just whether, you know, you're going to put a wood in there that burns really hot or one that burns not quite as hot.
It really sounds fun. I think there's going to be an opportunity for people to learn so much about the spices in their cabinets.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They're going to get to taste them too.
Right.
And I should have mentioned, if I didn't already, that we're going to be in the Sandpoint Library garden for this. So we'll be outdoors and having the benefit of that in our cooking and in our talk. And that'll be starting at 11 o'clock. And then in addition to the food element of it, I think there's a few other techniques that she'll be talking about, with some movement and some breathing and other issues.
Yeah, so we will be discussing, because how our mind care is super important in Ayurveda. We also want to keep our head and our mind cool. Everybody knows what happens when you get a hot mind. It's a very uncomfortable situation.
Oh, it happens to me every day.
So we have techniques, and sometimes by using breath is the fastest way to deal with the thoughts in the mind, because the breath and the thoughts are directly connected. So if we slow our breath down, we can slow our mind down. We might not be able to just slow our mind down, but we might be able to slow our breath down. And we will also be learning a breathing exercise called Shitali that's really cooling. So just by breathing this way, you can bring coolness into your body. So we'll be doing that. We'll talk about a couple yoga postures that are cooling, because same thing with yoga, it's the sister science of Ayurveda. So that's just the physical aspect of it, where Ayurveda encompasses all of it. So there's different yoga postures that are cooling, different yoga postures that are heating. So we'll touch on a couple of those too.
That's going to be an exciting 3 hours. And what you just said really brings it all back to one of the first, or what I see as the first key aspect of Ayurveda, which is that it's a holistic approach.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, this is so exciting. I think we've heard enough for folks to be excited about and plan to attend and make sure they make your 11 o'clock program on the 19th. Do they need to sign up in advance?
No, registration is required. And you just come, wake up that morning and you're feeling like, oh, I'm feeling hot. I got to learn some new tips or some of the other programs that we're going to talk about now that
Joyce,
day.
Let's get our terminology right. Are you feeling pitta? Wouldn't that be right?
Well, sometimes I do. I can be known to, yes. But other times, not so much. Sometimes I need a little nudge.
There you go. Well, folks, listeners, if you're just joining us, or if you've joined us a few minutes ago, this is KRFY. We are listener-supported community radio for the Idaho Panhandle. And we're being joined this morning by two great guests, one who we hear from pretty regularly, Joyce Jowdy from East Bonner County Library, just taking care of all the programming for adults. We appreciate you so much, Joyce. And then Yvonne Heitz, who is going to be presenting Ayurvedic, I'll get it, guys, summer wellness to help tone down that summer heat in your system, in your personality, in your body. Sounds like a great program. Well, we're going to take a short song break and then return and hear from Joyce about the remainder of that day and then a few other upcoming programs that will be in the outdoors and fun and either relaxing or stimulating. I know which is which, but I think we've gotten that under control now, and back to the program. So once again, this is KRFY, listener-supported community radio here in the Idaho Panhandle, and we are here with Joyce Jowdy of East Bonner County Library and Yvonne Heitz of Great Ayurvedic Medicine. We finished a great talk with her, and Joyce, we're now going on in just a moment to be talking about what else is happening in the month of July at the library, and it's a lot of outdoor stuff. But I must not forget to make this just make you all aware of an upcoming event that's a little related in a sort of sideways way, but it's the Bonner County Gardeners Association Garden Tour. And that is this coming Saturday. It begins, if I'm right, it begins at 10 and it goes till 4 or 5 p.m. It's an annual event. It'll usually feature between 6 and 10 gardens. I'm not sure how many it is this year, but you can find out all about it by going to bcgardeners.org, and it will have it'll have a map. It'll have a list of the gardens. It'll tell you what the cost is to attend and see them all. And remember that this is their main fundraising event for the season. It goes to a great cause, which is educating gardeners who then give back by educating the public. And you will be very impressed and thrilled to see the gardens that show up on this tour every year. So don't forget about it. Bonner County Gardeners Tour this coming Saturday at around 10 a.m. Okay, now back to you, Joyce.
Thank you, Julie. And that's a great segue about what's happening this week. Just real quickly, this Friday, July 11th, we'll be in the garden again with Distilling the Medicine of the Library Garden. Many of you will remember Christina Bauer of Untamed Alchemy has visited the library before, and this time she's bringing her stills, and we're going to learn about the ancient art of distillation and transform fresh medicinal plants into nurturing hydrosols. And that'll be 9 to 12, and that was something that our new garden coordinator, Kara had set up for us. And also, Kara is leading a Drawing Life in the Garden drawing class, a four-week class on Thursdays, starting July 10th this week as well. And that's 8:30 to 9:30. So those are two upcoming things this week to go along with your garden tour if you're looking for summer things to do.
Drawing in the garden, how relaxing.
Yeah, she wants you to experience a meditative morning practice of drawing this summer. And we've got the flowers are in bloom and all the medicinal, the pollinator plants are just looking lovely. She's done such a wonderful job in the garden. And it'll give you something to draw, too, and
that's
meditate.
Right.
All these different ways of relaxing.
In the summer heat. Did we touch properly on Art Journal Your Way to Freedom, which is also happening on the 19th?
And actually, I did want to turn back to Natural Connections. So
yes.
Once again, folks, you can always find out more details about what we're talking about at the library's website, www.ebonnerlibrary.org, and go to the events page. Or if you have any questions, you can give me a call at 208-263-6930 at extension 1103. And the Natural Connections that Yvonne was sharing, some of what she's going to be sharing, is on Saturday, July 19th, and it starts at 10 a.m. with a very different experience, but in some way related, because she talked about movement. Well, guess what? It's a form of movement. Silent Disco in the Garden. And it's a form of a free-form dance guided by Talia Rubin of Secret Sunrise. And it's you're wearing headphones. That's the silent part. And that allows you to go deeper. And she's going to be incorporating self-introspection, reflection with group interaction and play. The whole experience is designed to create joy. And we'll be doing this out in the garden. And so we'll start off moving. And everybody's welcome for that. And it's a wonderful experience to move, but also kind of go a little deeper with some stuff and connect with community through movement. And that'll be at 10 a.m. And then you've heard about Ayurvedic Summer Wellness, which will be at 11. That's Yvonne's program, where we'll be learning techniques to help reduce internal heat, as well as enjoying learning to cook together and enjoy a lovely lunch. And then we'll wrap the day up starting at 2 p.m. Holly Pennington, many of you may have seen some of her work on the Art Walk show. That, you know, the Art Walk downtown. Julie, you're familiar with that, aren't you?
Oh, I am, and I have seen her work. This is going to be fun to see her in action.
Yeah, and she's going to be introducing us to art journaling, and we're going to actually make an art journal. And for her, she came to that experience because of some stressful situations and trauma. And so it's art journaling is a way to really bring about what you want for your life. And, it, you know, she talks about and will share different practices, how to cultivate a deeper connection to ourselves and the world around us, and especially in the connection to how our brain operates, stress. It's much more than, it's not really about creating an art piece. It's really about using art in journaling. And she's even going to combine it with writing, and we'll experiment. She's going to have lots of different it's a multimedia workshop. So there's lots of way, no experience necessary. And it, in fact, is often an impediment if you're super skilled, because then you're looking for that product, when really what it's really all about is the process. And we're going to end up having art journals to take home. And so it's, I think, really wonderful. And a way to incorporate the arts and expression and communication into our lives and help reduce stress, increase brain health, build resilience, all those kinds of things. So it should be a wonderful day, and people are welcome to come for just which program time slot interests them, or they can come for multiple or the whole day. Especially since you're getting lunch, you'll be set.
No kidding. Well, as I see it, you're starting with some kind of fun, exciting energy dance, bringing you some energetic feelings. Then on to lunch that's going to teach us how to calm that summer heat a bit, and some other techniques. And then just a relaxing way to think about your day and think about your future. I don't know how better to spend a lovely day in July, July 19th.
Yeah. And then also, just because this is part of just real quick, I wanted to let people know we're working on our next one for August. Hopefully it will be August 23rd. And I'm anticipating us having some really special guests from the Kalispell tribe being able to teach us about the traditions, about weaving and making some baskets, and some of keeping some culture alive and sharing their culture with us, as well as they're going to be doing a display in the lobby in August. So we got a lot of cool things happening.
Well, all right. And Yvonne, you wanted to pop in with a comment, and we're starting to wind up the hour. So I'm going to tell you to not make it too long, because we're about to wrap up.
You got it. I just wanted to bring up that I forgot to share with your listeners that also at my event, we will be making paneer. So I don't know if you know what that is, but that's Indian homemade cheese. So we'll be using raw milk, and we'll be going through the process of adding the acid into it, allowing it to curdle up, and then pressing it into cheese, which will go into one of our dishes.
Exciting. That is very exciting.
Very
exciting. Cheese making is kind of mysterious to a lot of people, and I think that's a fairly simple one.
Yep. So we'll be doing that. First thing we're going to start with that, it'll be right on hands-on, because it has to set up for a while. And then while it's doing its setting, we'll get into a little bit of theory. And then we'll also be having an appetizer of a lassi. So those are absolutely delicious, but super good and cooling for the summer heat. So that should get us ready for cooking.
She's speaking our language, Joyce.
Yes, but we're not going to give it all away.
No.
And I know we're running out of time, so I just want to let people know, look out for the Monarch Butterfly Flight House on Wednesday, July 30th. You'll be able to come to the Sandpoint Garden and come into the museum, the Flight House, and experience butterflies flying all around you. And then also bookmobiles are going to be at Friday at City Beach, along with the lunch food program give out.
Fun.
So we're out in the community, we're in the garden, and lots of things. Go
all
to our
right.
website for more details. And thanks so much.
Okay, thanks
for having us on.
I can
really
give you
quick.
15 seconds.
I got 15 seconds.
All
I just wanted to let people know, if they want to learn more about Ayurveda, You can go to my website. It's ancientrootshealing.com, www.ancientrootshealing.com. And there's quite a bit of information on Ayurveda to learn more, as well as I've made a booklet that you can view online and has a lot of the, you know, basics of Ayurveda, just to give you guys more tools.
Yes, and we've seen it here in the studio and it looks fabulous. So I recommend you heading over to her website and looking at that great booklet. And that's going to be it for this morning, folks. Thank you for joining us, KRFY Morning Show. And once again, thank you, Joyce Jowdy and Yvonne Heitz, for spending a full hour with us. Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks, Julie, and KRFY.
Thank you.